I want to begin a study of the names of the Holy Spirit. This is Pentecost Sunday week, and Sunday morning, the Lord help me, and unless He changes my mind, I'll be preaching on the Holy Spirit this Sunday morning and also Sunday night. And I pray that people will get filled with the Holy Spirit in these services. Amen. I still believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. And I still believe it's for all ages. Amen. And so, and this Wednesday night, Sunday night, next Wednesday night will be on the names of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what I'll do Sunday, Memorial Sunday, that morning, that weekend. I don't know what I'll do. Depends on how many sinners show up that morning. I got a red hot, I got a hellfire brimstone sermon ready. With grace, of course. Amen. You know, it's the beginning of the summer, and I may preach on the Holy Spirit that morning. I may preach a evangelistic sermon that morning, but you just pray the Lord to just lead and guide and direct. I've had sinners get saved when I preached on the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I've had people get filled with Holy Spirit when I preached on hell. So, I mean, it doesn't matter really what you preach on. You just preach and let the Lord deal out what He wants to do with the people. Because it's, my ways are not His ways, and my thoughts are not His thoughts. Amen? So, let's talk tonight about the names of the Holy Spirit. Now, we talk about the names of God. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my healer. And we talk about the precious names of Jesus, the anointed one, the Son of David, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we talk about the names of the Father. We talk a lot about the names of the Son. But we don't talk a lot about the names of the Holy Spirit. And all throughout the scripture, in fact, I believe there's some 87 names that you can find about the Holy Spirit. And the name I want to focus in on tonight, after an introduction, half of this will be introduction, the rest of it will be on the name. But the name I want to focus on tonight is the Helper. Somebody say the Helper. Now turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. 14, 16 through 18. And if you can stand, would you stand for the reading of the word of the Lord tonight? Now I'm going to read it from, okay, Sister Darnell's got it in the New King James, because the King James Version has the Helper translated Comforter. Now when you do a word study on that word Comforter, it really is better translated Helper. So I want to read it in the correct way that the Lord intended, and it's on the screen, and your Bible will be just a little different if it's King James. But it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper." Now I like that word another. That means there's got some other help out there, right? And this is going to be another Helper. And you don't think you can make it, just know that you got more help than you need. Amen? "That He may abide with you," how long, church? "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see Him or doesn't know Him. But the Holy Spirit," listen to this, "you know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Thank you, Lord, that the Helper is in the house tonight. I ask you, Father, to anoint your servant to preach the ever-living, everlasting Word of God. As we sing the song about break every chain, I pray that every chain will be broken. And Father, we'll give you the praise for the Helper. And amen and amen. And everybody said, praise the Lord. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to see him tonight. The names of the Holy Spirit. To many Christians, the Holy Spirit is a mystery. He is the hidden member of the Trinity. The Father we know, the Son we know, but what about the Holy Spirit? Few believers understand who He is, why He came, or what He does in our world today. Fewer still understand the vital role He plays in the Christian life. I don't think I'm going overboard in saying that a proper knowledge of the Holy Spirit's ministry is absolutely essential to finding peace, joy, and victory in the Christian life. I'm going to repeat that. A proper knowledge of the Holy Spirit's ministry is absolutely essential to finding peace, joy, and victory as a Christian. You see, I am convinced that many believers live far below their potential because they have never discovered the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They know nothing about His power, His indwelling, His anointing, His intercession, His gifts, and the fruit that He longs to produce in our life. Living without the Holy Spirit is quite frankly like trying to drive a car on empty gas. Now, just this past week, we were clamoring to fill up. And I wish Christians would feel that way more often. I've got to have my fill up. Got to have the gas of the Spirit. Amen. Got to have the charge. Got to have the anointing. Is it in short supply? No, it'll never be in short supply. But I'll tell you this. God, give us a hunger. Just like we need gas in our tank, we need the Holy Spirit in our being. Can you give Him a hand of praise here tonight? Welcome, Holy Spirit. While we might not understand all the secrets of internal combustion, if we don't understand the need for gas, the car isn't going to get out of the driveway. God doesn't demand that we be able to explain the intricacies of pneumatology. Pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit, the theological word, pneumatology. I remember taking pneumatics at East Carolina University, talking about air compressors, and air compression was pneumatics, those big machines that used air pressure. And so pneumatology, something to deal with air, and the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. So we call the study of the Holy Spirit pneumatology. And you might not be able to pronounce that word, but you can sure know His name. Amen. You can sure know His presence and His blessings. And you may not understand the doctrines, the deep doctrines of the Trinity, but some basic knowledge is essential for releasing His power in our lives. That's why, in light of Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to begin a series tonight entitled The Names of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say something about the names of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, you know, when we think of names, we think of proper names like John or Jim or Sue or Betsy. But you won't really find a proper name. You know, the Son of God has a proper name per se. Jesus Christ is what we would call a proper name. But most of the names of God, or even the names of the Father, Jehovah, Jireh, they really were never intended to be proper names like we know them today. They're all meant to be descriptions or titles or emblems of His nature and character and work in our life. So when I say the names of the Holy Spirit, it is synonymous with the titles of the Holy Spirit. They are one and the same. For example, the Spirit of the Living God, the promised Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, the seal, a deposit, due, oil, all of these 87 names. By the way, I'm not preaching 87 sermons, so don't get scared. All right. But 87, I could, maybe one day we will, but we're just going to hit just three or four or five maybe at the most. But when you think about the Holy Spirit, you know, again, we emphasize the Father and the Son, but the Holy Spirit was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Praise God, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There you have the Trinity. And there in the opening verses of time, in the expression of the Word of God, is the blessed Holy Spirit of God. And let me just take a little time out preach break here. Let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit can move in a dark, dirty, dungy, old world that is messed up, and there's nothing there, waters, but if the Spirit of God can move in that, then He can move in you. Amen? And He can move in the valley of dry bones and bring life out of death. And you see in Genesis, there is the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. We see, and the Spirit and the Bride say what? Oh, two verses into the book and two verses before you finish the book. Guess who's there from beginning to end? The blessed Holy Spirit. He is there. He is here. He is important. He wants to bless and move and minister. And I pray that He will thrill you and fill you. And I pray you'll say like Benny Hinn said years ago, good morning, Holy Spirit. Would you give Him a hand of prayer? Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit spans the Bible. from the earliest moments of creation to the crowning events of world history until this day. Now, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, let me read to you the articles of faith of what we believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. We believe the Holy Ghost. Now, what I'm quoting to you tonight is our doctrine. Excuse me, it's what we believe, the 14 articles of faith of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. Excuse me. It says, we believe the Holy Ghost proceeding from the Father and the Son is of one substance, majesty, and glory with the Father, the Son, and very and eternal God. You must, and I love Pentecostals because I is one. And I was not reared in the Baptist church. I was not reared in the Methodist church. I was not reared in a Lutheran church. I was reared in a Pentecostal holiness church from the time I was conceived to the moment that I'm preaching behind the pulpit. So I love Pentecostals and I am a Pentecostal. But one thing that we got to be careful about is that we liken the Holy Spirit to an it. You know, it really moved and you need to get it. And I don't think that's terrible, but you got to understand the Holy Spirit is God. Well, I thought Jesus was God. He is. I thought the Father was God. He is. I thought the Holy Spirit is God. He is. It's called the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When those seraphims went around the throne, they say, well, there was only one throne. Yeah, but the seraphim said, holy, 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 one for the Father, one for the, well, glory, one for the Son, and one for the blessed Holy Ghost. We believe the Holy Spirit is God. And it's not just a mere force. You know, people say the Holy Spirit is a force. He is a force, but not just a force. It's not an it or feeling or phantom. Not just a thrill up your leg. Not just a part of God. By the way, when you feel the Holy Spirit, you may feel a thrill up your leg. Amen? You may feel a feeling. I'm not saying it's not an expression or sensation of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is much more than a thrill up your leg or a feeling. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, how do we know this? Go to Matthew 28, 18. It says, go therefore and teach all nations. Go to the next scripture. Jesus spake unto them. Go therefore and teach all nations. Now, notice the word. Somebody said the word teach. And then baptizing them in the name of the Father. Now, what are you going to teach? The greatest doctrine you can teach is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them. The three. He didn't say teach them. The Father, the Son, and then they'll feel the Holy Spirit. No, they're equal. This is equal here. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them, Father, Son. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. This is just such a sampling. You'll run into some people every now and then. Good people. There's a big church right around the corner from here. Good people. And they'll tell you that there's no such thing as the Trinity. And they'll tell you the Holy Spirit is not a person. And you'll say, well, why don't you believe in the Trinity? Well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. I'm going to tell you the Trinity is all over the Bible. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 20, it is all there. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Look at 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Why would you put the Holy Ghost in there if he was not equal to the Father and the Son? Can you say amen? The Holy Spirit is given equal honor both to the Father, the Son. People say, and you can interchange the titles. Jesus Christ is Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. But there's also a scripture, and I did not put this in the notes, but it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Have you ever heard that scripture? Did you know that that's really not an accurate way it was translated into King James? Nothing against King James. I love King James. Please understand, I honor the Puritans and the King James. But the actual rendering should have, and Chris Thompson got this right. He put it on his letterhead. It doesn't really say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It literally means where the Spirit is Lord. The Spirit can be called Lord just like Jesus can be called Lord because they are our Lord. Amen. They're not three separate gods. It is one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now notice in John chapter 14, verse 15 through 17, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. And he shall send you another helper that he, come on, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know who? Him. Somebody say, you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus Christ himself talks about the Father, but he talks about him. That's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, co-equal with God. In fact, the Holy Spirit is called God. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 34. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled your heart to lie to the what? And to keep back part of the price of that land. Verse 4. Whilst it remained, was it not in your own hand? And after it sold, was it not in your own power? Why hast thou conceived into thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto... Wait a minute. He just said he lied to the Holy Ghost. Then he says, you've not lied unto men, but you've lied unto... That means the Holy Ghost can be called God because he is God. Amen. He is Lord. He is God. The Holy Spirit is called God. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That's very interesting that word grieve is in there. I can damage this microphone. I can damage it, but I can't grieve it. Grieving is an emotional term for humans or for living beings. Come on now. Now, my wife and I, we've never had a fight in our entire 27 years of marriage. But I got a feeling that if she really got mad with me and kicked me, she could do damage to my leg probably. But she would grieve my heart a lot worse. And I'm so glad to know that that's not going to happen. Amen. Not unless something, there was a lady that I knew that because of medication, she became violent and did hit her husband. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is a person. If he were just an it, if he were just a force, you couldn't grieve him. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit is grieved when he has so much for you, when he wants to empower your life, when he wants to be your helper. He is your gift. He is the living, present manifestation of God on the earth. Some people said that in the Old Testament was the time of the Father. In the New Testament, where Jesus came, was the time of the Son. But on the day of Pentecost is now the time of the Holy Spirit. I actually don't agree with that. Because in my opinion, it's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. Oh, somebody give the Holy Spirit worship and praise. He is Lord. He is God. We celebrate the Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost Sunday. And let's believe God. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let us, as God, the Holy Spirit is to be worshiped. The Holy Spirit can be prayed to. I pray to the Holy Spirit. I pray to the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, like I do the Father. The Holy Spirit is to be rejoiced in, glorified, longed for. I long for the moving of the Spirit. I'm asking for an outpouring of unmeasurable fullness of the Holy Spirit. I praise God, the hymn writer said, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly hosts. Say it with me. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Give him a hand of praise again tonight. Amen. So over and over in the Word of God, from Genesis 1, you'll find the ministry, majesty, and might of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, do it here at Westmoreland again. Do it here at Westmoreland. The prophet said that thou wouldest rend the heavens. Pour out your Spirit in such an unmeasurable, undeniable way that we will walk in a Shekinah cloud of glory. That sinners will walk into our church and instantly be convicted of sin, run to the altar and cry out for the mercies of God. That believers would be strong in their Christian faith and strong in their life, vanquishing every foe, and that being out there in the jobs and in the neighborhoods, so full of the Spirit that they lay hands on the sick and they are healed, and the people that are healed will say, well, I've got to know the God that you're talking about. Oh, we've got to hunger again, church. We've got to have Pentecost again. Oh, somebody say amen here tonight. You see, we're big on Calvary, and thank God for Calvary, and we celebrate the empty tomb. Amen. But 40 days after he ascended, he died on the cross, he rose again, the tomb is empty, and he dwelt with them for 40 days, showing to them things pertaining unto the kingdom of God, and opening up the scriptures and declaring himself, showing himself to be the Messiah, and he was, and they looked, and he disappeared out of their sight, and he ascended back to the Father. But when he ascended, he said, tarry into the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And they went to an upper room. And friend, thank God for the empty tomb. And that's where a lot of Christians stop, at the empty tomb. We need to go from the empty tomb right on up to the upper room. Amen. And if you've got teenagers, if I had a teenager, and bless God, I'm helping to raise one of them, I'll go ahead and announce it, amen, by faith. Sister Joyce, if you give me permission, hallelujah, and Charlie, and Amanda, and everybody else, you just loan her out to me. But since I have a 15-year-old, and you have a teenager, or if you have teenagers or grandkids, my prayer is that they will be filled with the Holy Ghost, because there's temptation out in this world. You see, if I can get my daughter filled with the Holy Ghost, I know that when she goes out on a date, she ain't going to be tempted to do things that ought not to be done, because she's got something on the inside. Amen? Now, that's another sermon for another day. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, folks, when I was in college, it's one of the things that kept me pure and holy was I had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll tell you, we need the Holy Spirit. And there are names of the Holy Spirit. Names like the Eternal Spirit. That's another attribute. God has some attributes that man doesn't share. The Bible says God is love, and you and I can experience love. The Bible says God is holy, and you and I can be holy. The Bible says be holy as he is holy. But there are some things that God possesses that are, I learned this at Church God Camp meeting, and Dr. Gene Rice, he preached that many years ago, and I still have those tapes from like 1988, and I'll never forget it. But he said there's what's called the non-communicable attributes of God, which means communicable, you know, the disease, a communicable disease like COVID, it can spread. Non-communicable disease like cancer, it can't spread. It just happens. So there are non-communicable attributes, things that God has, some of his attributes that cannot be shared with man, such as love or joy or whatever. God has those attributes. We can share in those, but there's three or four things that only qualify as God. Number one, omnipotent. In other words, all powerful. You will never be all powerful. Never can be all powerful. Omniscient means all knowing. I am the Lord. I declare the end from the beginning. And God already knows it. When he asks you a question, he's not asking for information. He's asking really for transformation, to see what you'll do. Let me tell you, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence. That means, listen, you can only be in this sanctuary at this time. Right now. But God is everywhere. Amen. Like the old song, I know God is God, and God don't never change. I know God is God. He always will be God. Come on now. Amen. He's God in the Father, God in the Son, God in the Holy Ghost, God all three in one. I know God. Sister Doris, do you ever sing that song? Is that one of your songs? Oh, a little bit. Oh, I've never heard you sing that. I gotta listen to this. And listen, he's God on the platform. He's God in the pew. He's God somewhere else, and God all over you, whatever. He's everywhere, folks. You can't be everywhere. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, those are not, and I'll tell you another non-communicable attribute about God is eternal. Never had a beginning. never will have an end. He is eternal. And the Bible speaks of the eternal spirit in the book of Hebrews. That's an attribute of God. There's other names, a new spirit, the oil of gladness, one spirit, the spirit of faith. There's the spirit of adoption, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Are y'all done already? Okay. Just a little bit early. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The spirit of grace, the spirit whom raised up Jesus, the spirit of life. There are other names of the Holy Spirit, a new spirit, the spirit of glory. There's the spirit of revelation. How about this? The spirit of a sound mind. There are other references. The spirit of your Father, the promise of the Father. There is the spirit of Jesus or the spirit of Jesus Christ. There is the fullness of God, the anointing, the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of the prophets, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of truth. There's the breath of life, the dew. We mentioned that. The endowment, the finger of God. And the Holy Spirit, one of his names is the finger of God. The glory of the Lord. The oil of gladness. The power of the highest. One of his names is rain. We're going to talk about that. Rivers of living water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, whom he said that they would receive. The Spirit is likened unto a dove, a doorkeeper, a deposit, a fire, a fountain, man, there's just so many names of the, and each one of those names will set you on fire. Next Wednesday night, I'll talk to you about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss next Wednesday night. Brother Philip, we might have an outpouring next Wednesday night. Come on in here. Bring them on in here. We'll just give y'all a break and we'll just have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, let me give you the helper. See, I told you half of this was going to be introduction. But the rest of it is not going to take as long, I promise. But let me tell you about the helper. Does anybody ever need help? Aren't you thankful for this thing called 911? I mean, really, be honest. The fact that I can reach in my pocket, hit 911, and say, I need help. Well, I tell you something. When you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you got something even better than 911. Come on. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be the helper. There are three things he does to help us. And then I'm going to come to a close. He, number one, reveals the person of Jesus to us. He helps us by revealing the person. Look at John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. So, I am represented to God by Jesus. Isn't that great? You remember, I was fascinated by the O.J. Simpson trial back in the mid-90s. It just riveted my thoughts just because I remember hearing Johnny Cochran's opening statement. And I thought to myself, if you want to see a man anointed by Satan himself, much like the Antichrist will be, listen to that opening statement by Johnny Cochran, because you're talking about weaving lie upon lie upon lie and making it so palatable and presentable to make a guilty man look innocent. I was fascinated how did a man, flesh and blood, could be so gifted in oratorical skills. And to do that, and he had Johnny Cochran, he had Bob Shapiro, he had Alan Dershowitz, and he had two or three others. What was those? I can't remember those girls that are real pretty that they the Kardashians. One of those was on the one of their dad. Their dad was one of the attorneys on the. And they, you know what they called O.J. Simpson's attorney team? What did they call them? Y'all remember? The nightmare, the dream team. He had the money. He had the dream team, and they flat did it. They got him off the hook. They got him not guilty. They got him set free. By the way, God always has the last. God always has the last, because about 10 years later, the old boy got locked in jail, and when they got ready to read his verdict, the lights went out mysteriously because some power shortage, and God, I believe, spoke and said the man's guilty, and I believe he's, I hope he's still in jail. I hope he gets saved. Bless his heart. Hey, everybody needs to be saved, even murderers. Can I get a witness out there? But I'm just here to tell you, the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus who represents us to the Father. That's better than the Kardashians. That's better than O.J. Simpson. That's better than Johnny Cochran. We have representation. And we got the great high priest. But the Holy Spirit does he does the opposite. Jesus takes us to the Father. But let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit represents the Father and the Son to us. He manifests them to us. He reminds us of what they have said. He reminds us. We have our personal dream team in the Holy Spirit that helps us, that bears witness with us. Look at John chapter 15, verse 25 through 26. It says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. In other words, when I sin, when I'm weak, when I fail, the Holy Spirit jumps all over me and says, you can be forgiven. God loves you. Don't commit suicide. Don't quit going to church. Now, every last one of you, you know what I'm talking about. You did something wrong, and immediately the Holy Spirit says, yeah, you did something wrong. It's all conviction, but here's how to make it right. Now, there's also a voice of condemnation. There's that condemnation when you do something wrong. Oh, no need to go to church. No need. Those people are all hypocrites. Those people don't believe in you anyway. But there's also another voice. And you need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he says, okay, you failed, but the Lord is here to help you. The Lord will see you through. He represents. We thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Romans 8 and 15 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness that I'm not what I want to be. And I'm not what I used to be, but praise God, I'm not what I'm going to be. Amen? Because one day I'm going to be redeemed. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, reveals the person of Jesus to us and recalls the promises of Jesus for us. John says in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, the Helper, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that he recalls the promises to me. Have you ever felt like giving up? You ever felt like, is there any use praying? Have you ever seen times where it just didn't seem like mountains wouldn't move, prayers weren't answered? But down deep inside, there's a still small voice that says, you will be healed and fully restored. Amen? He recalls the promises of Jesus for us. When that child gets so far out of line and you just feel like there's no hope, the Holy Spirit says, there is hope, because your children shall return from the land of the enemy. Oh, there's times in my life, David lived in the Old Testament. David had to encourage himself in the Lord, and we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. But I'll tell you, David didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will encourage you in the Lord. Amen. He will give you those promises. He will bring things to your memory. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what you speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. Now, there's two things about this scripture. Number one, if you're a public preacher and a teacher, or if you teach Royal Rangers or missionettes or Sunday school, you must study. Don't you get up Sunday morning and say, well, the Holy Spirit is going to tell me what to say. Can I tell you something? I've tried it. And the only thing the Holy Spirit said to me was, you're on your own, buddy. Yeah, that's right. I get up and say, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you what to speak. What is that, Holy Spirit? You should have studied. That's what he said. Thank you, Brother Philip. But there's going to be situations where you don't have human wisdom. And you need to speak a word. He said the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind what you need to say. Somebody say amen. And then finally, the Holy Spirit will release the power of Jesus through us. Let me repeat that. Number one, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, reveals the person of Jesus to us. He is our attorney. He represents the Father and the Son to us. He, number two, recalls the promises of Jesus for us when we get down and out and we forget those promises, those not only the promises in the Word, but the specific promises He's given us. And then, number three, and we're going to go into Pentecost Sunday with this, He releases the power of Jesus through us. If you love me, John 14:15, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it receiveth, seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwells in you and shall be in you. He dwells in you. He doesn't just come on and off. The Holy Spirit comes to abide with you. Now, you may not feel as much of the Holy Spirit at 6 a.m. in the morning. Some of you don't even feel like you're awake at 6 o'clock in the morning. But I promise you, the Holy Spirit didn't leave you overnight. Amen? And you may be out there working, out there, and there's a bunch of people around going crazy, and you might not feel like the Holy Spirit, or you, well, I'd rather be at a church prayer meeting. Let me tell you something. You can walk in this world and still be filled with the Spirit, even in a crazy work environment, even in a crazy home environment. I remember many times, and I'm coming to a close. I got a great illustration here, but I'm gonna save it to Sunday. It's gotta wait for Sunday. If I tell it tonight, y'all gonna sit there like this because you heard it. Because I want you to hear it Sunday, and it's 8 o'clock, and I'm gonna let you out a little early tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you that when I was a kid, and you can stand with me tonight, when I was a kid, my mother and father, they didn't go to church. They were not Christians. They were good parents to me, and my sister Jennifer. They worked hard. They weren't lazy, or they didn't do drugs and all of that stuff. And they were hardworking people, but they were sinners. They were sinners. My dad was an alcoholic. He loved his Budweiser. And my mom and my dad would cuss at each other, fuss at each other when they'd get in little spats. And I used to talk to them about going to church. And our TV, we had HBO, we had movies and things that were not very godly, not godly at all, to be honest with you. And my house was just, I would go to my friend's house, Keith Pittman, and his mother and father were leaders in the church. And I'll never forget spending the night with Keith and just thinking how you could feel the presence of God in that house. And man, I was just like, man, I just wish my mom and dad were saved. And when I'd go home, I'd just feel tension in the air. I'm not telling you it was a bad environment. I'm not telling you that they didn't love me. They were wonderful parents in a lot of ways. The reason I'm saying this is because I'm thinking mama might be watching, so I better be careful what I say. The Holy Spirit's talking to me right now. So mama, I'm just telling you, you loved us. But at that time, it was not a godly house. But in my bedroom, I would pray. And I would pray, and I didn't know, I was only like 13, 14, 15, but I would pray, and I would sit in my chair, because I had a chair in my bedroom, and I would see, it would look like a white haze in the bedroom. Really, I'm not trying to be spooky, I'm not trying to be hyper-spiritual, but I would feel, Brother Ray, the presence of God so strong. The point I'm trying to tell you is, I don't care what environment you're in, whether you're at Chick-fil-A or Best Buy or at the office, or if you're in the gates, if you make your bed in hell and they lock us up for having church and throw us in the dungeon like Jeremiah, I'm here to tell you, you will never be alone. The Holy Spirit will be there with you. He will be there in you. He will release the power of Jesus through you, and you can make a difference. Come on, church. Let's rise up, Spirit-filled church. Let's show Wilson that there is something to this thing called Pentecost. And I want us to close in prayer by lifting up our hands tonight and asking God, this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, will you just fill us overflowing? God, would you let the Holy Ghost rain down on these services Sunday morning and Sunday night? Lord, we are long overdue for another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're asking you, God, fill us. Let these teenagers under Brother Pastor Nate be Spirit-filled, speaking in tongues, sanctified. Lord, we pray for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. God, just remind us that you're the helper tonight. You're going to see us through. You're going to release the power of God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for signs and wonders and miracles that are done in the name of your child Jesus and through the power of the given Holy Spirit. And Lord, we'll give you the praise. I want you to give him a hand of praise tonight. He's worthy of praise tonight. Well, God bless you tonight. And I wanted to end on a high note because I want this to go right on over into Sunday morning. I'll be preaching on the Holy Spirit. This be Pentecost Sunday. And I want you to make it a part of your prayer that this Sunday we'll have another Pentecost because he wants us to. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Tell three people you're blessed and highly favored. And we'll see you Sunday morning. And we love you.